Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 148 of Cyclocross Radio. On today's show, Scott Diedenbach from Bike Shop CX stops by, as he does periodically, to catch up on everything that's going on in the world of cyclocross and gravel and everything else that we want to talk about tangentially. Always awesome to catch up with Scott and have him on the show. And Scott also brought along with him via telephone a special guest. So we have some special bonus content in here as well that you need to check out. I'm gonna just not say who it is now, just in case you didn't look at the episode description and read it right there. So if you don't read, it's still a surprise. Today's show on the Wide Angle Podium Network is brought to you by Health IQ. Our old friends at Health IQ. Health IQ, a life insurance company that celebrates the health conscious, including cyclists. Visit healthiq.com/WAP to learn more about what they can do for you and also to get a free quote. You basically will go, you'll take a little quiz there, you'll qualify, and then you'll be able to get better costs, lower costs, life insurance through Health IQ. The cool thing about them and why they've been our partners for a long time, they promote a health-conscious lifestyle. That's what they're looking for. They're all about betting on you. And since listeners to this podcast take care of themselves, ride their bikes, they're runners, they are active, they care about what they eat, Health IQ says, hey, these are people who are going to live longer, who are going to be healthier. We want to make sure that these are the people that we give the best rates to for life insurance so that it's a better risk for us. So everybody wins here. It's the type of thing that you really should take a look at. If you don't have any life insurance, now's the time to start thinking about it. So do me a favor, if you haven't already and you're a frequent listener to the show, just go to healthiq.com/WAP. Really excited about a new sponsor to the Wide Angle Podium Network and Cyclocross Radio, and that's Whoop, W-H-O-O-P, Whoop. You may have seen this. Jeremy Power uses Whoop. Kate Courtney uses it. It is a performance tool that is changing the way people track their fitness and optimize their training. So what happens here? Whoop provides What they provide are really hard to say words, but we're going to get through this. You and me together, we're going to get through this. Whoop provides a wrist-worn heart rate monitor that pairs to their app and provides analytics and insights on recovery, strain, and sleep. For the longest time in training, we were all about performance. How many watts can you put out? What's your weight, you know, your kilograms to watts ratio? It's all about go, 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 go. What we're learning now is what's also important is stop, 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 and rest and recover and make sure that you are performing at an optimal rate. And a lot of what that has to do is the balance between recovery and working out. And that is what Whoop helps you figure out. It gives you all of the information. It actually tells you where you're at. It knows when your body is recover or when it needs rest by getting to know your nervous system through heart rate variability and quality of sleep. It's really cool. And the thing that we are offering through the Wide Angle Podium is a discount on a membership to Whoop. So you get the hardware, but then it also comes with a membership through the app so you can get all of this great information and analytics. And what you do, you go to whoop.com, put in the discount code CXHAIRS, CXHAIRS, and you'll get 15% off for a 12 or 18 month membership. Whoop, W-H-O-O-P. Look, Powers, Courtney, a slew of other athletes already using it, so you know it works, you know it gets results. We'd love for you to sign up for Whoop, and we'd love for you to do it through the Wide Angle Podium by using CXHairs at whoop.com. Finally, before we get to our show, just want to remind you all, we're all going to be in Waterloo, Wisconsin from September 20th to the 22nd. Heck, we'll probably be there before that and maybe even after that. But definitely that's the core time that we want to see all of you there for the World Cup. World Cup is a no-brainer. We also want to see you out there racing in the Legends race, but also in your category. Go to TrekCXCup.com. That'll take you to the main page. That'll get you hooked up with the registration page. Go sign up, see some races, and then come visit us over at the wide angle podium section in the exhibitor area. We're sponsoring a World Cup. It's amazing. Gosh, how far wide angle podium has come. Our little company doing big things. Go to wideanglepodium.com. Check out all the shows. Go over to YouTube, youtube.com/CXHairs. Sign up for the heat check videos. Just subscribe to the channel. You'll get them all. We're in the mountain bike season now. We're going to be moving on to cyclocross soon. And I think you're really going to dig the format that we're going to bring to you for this year's cyclocross season. All right. That's it. That's longer than I wanted to talk, but a lot of information out there to get to you. Hopefully you didn't fast forward. But if you did, hopefully this is the place that you're coming back in, because we got episode 148 of Cyclocross Radio. We're talking to Scott Diedenbach and special guest, and we're doing that right now.
Scott Diedenbach.
Phil Schaiken. What's up, man?
We've been talking for I love this part, because we were talking for like the last, what, 10?
Only about 15 minutes.
Yeah,
this time.
15 minutes.
Sometimes now, it's like an hour.
Now we've moved into like podcast voice.
Right. Your voice deepens. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I think my voice actually gets higher. I think I go the other way. It's like, all right. All right, get me out there.
It's time for Cyclocross Radio.
We got to put on the show.
Well, here's one way we can get started, Bill. Are you drinking anything special?
You know what? I am. And
yes,
can
me
I
too.
Yeah, and it actually it's the way that we are able to do this, because without it I would just, you know, probably still be in bed. I'm going against hype. I actually prefer both great, but prefer the full Schleck from Grimper Brothers. That is like right up my alley. That light roast and just lots of those are the flavor that I like. We're talking about coffee, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
GrimperBrothers.com.
So yeah. So I think it's almost more on brand that Dan at Grimper named this coffee, Hello Cyclocross Friends, after this show, and then that's the one that I don't drink.
Well, it's not that you don't like it.
No, I love it. If you put it in front of me, I'm going to drink it, but my order is going in for the full Schleck. As much as, like, I mean, that's a slow ride, you know, thing, so as much as that pains, that tells you right there how good that coffee is, that I can get by drinking something that is inspired by the Slow Ride podcast and still enjoy it that much.
And ignore Hello Cyclocross Friends.
Yeah.
I always feel like when I have Hello Cyclocross Friends, I have to make it as espresso, but you don't. It's just coffee.
Yeah,
you can make it however you want. Espresso is just a way to make coffee. So that's just kind of the recommended way, but you can make it however you want. And they're both delicious, and it helps support the shows and the network. So go check it out.
You can do that. Wide angle. Podium.com. Go there. You can check out, dude, so many new shows going on. Like, tell me this. And yes, we're going to talk about cyclocross, but this is on the top of our heads right now. So, so Zach Schuster from Cyclocross Magazine and myself, we started this Grodio, which is, you know, gravel plus road plus radio, Grodio show that's in the parts bin, which has kind of reinvigorated me. I'm having a ton of fun doing that. It's something a little different, even though it's, you know, talking about a lot of the same people, but it was kind of neat, you know, and I'm stoked on that. I'm stoked that the network now has this parts bin feed that you all can subscribe to and do these different shows. And then you even, you know, put away the bikes and just went completely off the charts.
Off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely off the rails. My new show is Hazy Vinyl Jive, where I get to talk about records, man.
Yeah. Oh,
what can be better than that? You know, you talk yourself out about the bikes. Now you get to talk about records. So as a lot of people know, I'm into vinyl records and music that way. So
I think that might be an understatement, Scott. Well, first off, you all should follow Scott's other Instagram feed, which is at Scott Not Bikes, right?
Right.
Did I get that right?
Right.
Yeah. Scott Not Bikes. How many albums do you have?
I am not even at 1,000 yet.
Really?
I'm like 950.
Not only 1,000. I maybe.
And well, it doesn't
30.
Seem like much because the people the guys that I talk to and stuff who are up there, I'm like, they're like, well, I'm down to 4,000. I'm like, jeez. But my opinion is 1,000 to 1,200 is like a good number to kind of just fluctuate in between that number. If you got more than that, are you really listening to them? How much time can you give stuff if you've got 4,000 records, you know?
So. I'm waiting for the time when you're like, hey, I'm redoing the barn, all the bikes and tools are moving out and we're re-insulating it, and that's going to be where all the albums are housed.
I need a warehouse. it's funny because like in my room here I have these built-in bookshelves, and before I still had a lot of my vinyl collection from like the 80s when I bought stuff way back then, but it was like in a box in my basement, you know, no big deal, and all the bookshelves in here had books on them. And I'm slowly, like, the books are slowly coming. Fewer and fewer shelves have books, and more shelves have records.
Yeah.
And so the bookshelves are just slowly filling up with records. And I built a case that holds 600 records out of a sheet of plywood, and that's full. So
nice. Yeah, we have that with books. We sort of have this philosophical conversation every once in a while in our house because. Pretty much everybody in my household, my wife, my two daughters, we all have Kindles. And that's pretty much where we read everything. Yet there's this kind of stigma or prejudice that, you know, you walk into somebody's house and you don't see any books and you're kind of like, okay, what kind of person is this that doesn't own any books? But now I'm like,
read.
Well, are we just going to keep books around because to you know, not to be accused of being, you know, anti-intellectual? I mean, what's the...
Right, It's like The Great Gatsby. Have you ever read The Great Gatsby?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he's got all the books on the shelf, but none of the bindings are cracked.
Yeah.
And that's just a genius book, in my opinion. So.
Yeah.
I don't know why we got onto this topic.
Because I told when I said, hey Scott, we need to talk, and then I was like, and you were like, cool, what are we talking about? I was like, you know what? We're gonna figure it out. And this is where we started.
All right. I can move us in the direction of cycling. I told you I have a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have this Roadcaster mixing board now.
Which can David I just say I, it Yeah, if people don't know, that's basically this. It's really, really cool. This kind of built-in one-and-all podcast studio. It looks like a mixing board. I just want to say it's much bigger than I thought it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But in my head, I pictured something smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's still very portable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still very portable, and I'll be bringing it into Trek. But I think by the time Trek rolls around, half the Wide Angle Podium or more is going to have one and be using it on their shows too, because we've been discussing it on Slack and stuff, and everyone's like, I want to get one. It's so awesome. But, you know, I have to test different. It does so much stuff. So one of the ways I'm going to test it is right here. Hang on. Let me see. Can you hear that?
I can. It's a phone.
Yeah, I'm calling somebody.
Hey.
Lucas.
How are you guys?
I'm good. Bill, do you know who this is?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
You'll know when I tell you.
Okay.
It's Lucas Sterwald, winner of the DK high school race.
Whoa.
Yep.
Fantastic. Hey, Lucas. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing just fine.
And member of the U.S. Cyclocross Worlds team.
I know.
Yep.
Let's start there. Can we talk about that?
Sure. I mean, it's up to Lucas. Lucas, yeah, are you willing to talk about that?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Bill. What do you want to ask?
I'm actually, and I know you've probably talked about this, just curious about your experience traveling with USA Cycling and just being involved in that event.
Well, it was definitely really cool, but extremely different than the racing here that we have in the US. It was pretty cool because when I got to the airport and we actually got picked up in a Team USA like sprinter van. And so that was like extremely cool. And just being with all the pros and being like one of the, I want like top athletes, I guess, was just really cool to be among like such talented people. And the racing over there is just intense. And it's just on a whole nother level. But I really enjoyed it and really want to go back for more.
Were you able to cleanly ride the off camber at the top of the course?
For Hoogerheide?
No, for Worlds.
Or Worlds.
You know what I'm talking about?
No,
onto that little walking path at the top?
Yeah. I actually didn't try and ride it.
Oh, okay.
I actually ran it each time, but though I was making a lot of spots up there because people were trying to ride it and were just like boggling.
Yeah, that's smart. So basically after you came off the flyover and just sort of crushed it up to the top, you were just getting off there and running?
Exactly.
That's
as was like Wout van Aert.
Yeah, but the thing with that, I mean, there was such a penalty. You had to have that plan, right? Because if you didn't have that plan, what I don't think you could really see it on TV because it was so focused just on that very top. But if you if you got off late and started sliding down, you were basically like halfway back down to the water. Yeah.
Right.
Like you could put another 30 seconds onto your lap just like working your way back if you got off too late. So
exactly.
Yeah. So do you get any, you're talking about hanging out with like the top riders in the country and stuff. Do you get any advice from Anthony Clark?
Oh yeah.
Was Anthony Lucas, wasn't Anthony your roommate?
Oh no, really? Awesome.
No, okay. Anthony wasn't my roommate.
All right. I was thinking of somebody else.
Yeah. He said one of the things I really enjoyed about Anthony was he like invited me to hang out with them, and so that was just really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And one of the things he told me was just to enjoy it while it lasts, because like racing at an elite level like won't last forever.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna take that to heart and just enjoy it while I have it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So what do you race on the road at all?
Yeah.
Okay. So you basically
you just won a crit the other day. What
okay.
Crit, wasn't it? Luke?
Yeah. So 2 weekends ago, I was racing in Iowa during the Snake Alley weekend.
Okay.
And so I got second in the men's Cat 3 at Snake Alley, and 10th at Mountain City, and then I won the Quad City crit.
That's awesome. Nice. Do you any mountain biking?
Not really. In the area where I live, it's like always raining, so the trails are kind of sloppy.
I know how that goes. So, I've been trying to like do more mountain biking here in the Mid-Atlantic. I'm in DC, and it's like, all right, today's the day. And then of course the night before it'll just like pour down raining. And I'm like, all right, today's not today.
Yeah.
But so
it is what it is.
Lucas, I'm very curious about the DK race too that you just won, because we don't hear enough about the high school race. What's the distance in that? What was the distance?
So it was 27 miles.
Okay.
That's like a DK sprint.
Well, there's a 25 mile, a regular 25 mile.
Oh, really?
Okay. Too. Yeah. I think there's a 25, a 50, a 100, a 200, and then the 350, of course.
Yep.
Where it gets really crazy. So tell me, like, what was it like starting? Like, what was the start like? What time did you guys start? Did you start real early?
No, so we started at 9:30.
Okay.
So like after everybody rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually started us behind the 25 milers. So despite them being like, there being like a 30 minute gap, we were still pretty much passing people the whole race.
Yeah.
So we're just like zagging back and forth. But though, the start of the race was, I don't know, we had a neutral rollout.
Okay.
And so people were like, I want to say like attacking, but they're trying to be up front and,
be the first person behind the neutral car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh God, they're going to like make huge attacks when we get on the gravel. But once we actually did get on the gravel, it was like pretty chill.
Yeah.
And so
go ahead.
Going through the first corner, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to ramp up the pace. So I did like a huge pull. And when I looked back, I was with four other guys. And so that was just the group that I stayed with pretty much the whole race.
And this is your first gravel race, right?
Yep.
I mean, you have a long history of cyclocross, so riding on dirt is not new to you, but
yeah.
But you hadn't done gravel before. So, okay, yes. So you guys break off like a group of four off the front, then you guys just kind of held that the whole way, because I know you only won by like 10 seconds or something?
Yeah, so we were with each other for about like half the race, and then there's this one section where it's like more dirt than gravel, but since they got a ton of rain, there's like a tractor or something that went through this road section. So like you're riding on like, I don't know, like 4 inches on like the tire track, but the goes super deep.
Okay.
And so you almost have to coast or else you'll hit your pedals on the sides.
Oh yeah.
And so I knew like when this road was going to happen, so I made an attack there.
Uh-huh.
And this was about 13 miles out. And so I'm like, oh, I got this. But then I pre-rode the course a few days earlier and the wind was coming from the northwest. But then it changed that morning. And so it was coming from the south. And so it was like a headwind all the way back.
Oh.
And so I'm like, oh, I can't do this by myself. So I looked back and saw I think his name's Asa. He's the winner of the like younger high school category.
Okay.
But though he was had a pretty decent gap on like the rest of the guys. So I held up for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were trading off, working together.
Cool.
Pretty much the rest of the race until when we get back into town, there's that huge hill right next to the university. So I made an attack there and was able to keep it.
Cool.
All the way.
And then let's give your sponsor some love. What were you riding?
Oh, I was riding my Niner cross bike.
Yeah. Oh, your cross bike.
Yeah.
You didn't have the gravel.
No, I'm not that cool yet.
the question that I just don't want to ask, but I have to because people will ask me why I didn't. We're using aero bars.
No, I wasn't. So going into this gravel race, I didn't know how much of a like controversy this was.
Right.
And then I was at the press conference later on that night, and people were asking like the pros, like, do you use aero bars? And I'm like, wow, this is like actually a huge argument.
Lucas is like, I just want to ride, man. What's all this? Yeah.
So doing the 27-mile race, which I'm sure at a much higher pace than you would have done 200 miles, did you look at that and go, yeah, this will be fun to do for 200 miles?
Maybe not 200 miles, but it was a lot hotter than I was expecting it. So I was like, compared to what we have here in Ohio, it was just like, oh my God, it's... It's the sun was beating down on you.
Yeah.
So, I want to try and do the 100 next year.
Nice.
Because I think that's possible for me. But the 200, I'd have to definitely work up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think anybody would. What's the rest of your calendar look coming up for the road? Do you have nationals coming up, or has that already happened?
Yeah. So
okay.
Nationals is coming up. So that's in about 2 weeks. From now, And so I'll be doing all three disciplines, TT, road, and the crit race.
Hmm.
So, yeah, first TT at Nationals. So we'll see how that goes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
Will you be using aero bars?
Yeah, I will.
And then, Lucas, I know you got it. We got to get your sister Lexi, because I've heard you say my sister Lexi is faster than me.
She's going to, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. She'll be doing DK, I'm sure, before we know it. So
yeah,
there we go.
That's awesome.
Well, Bill, I told Lucas we weren't going to keep him too long. Yep. Did you have any other last questions?
No, just where are you going to? What's your plan for beginning of the cyclocross season? Where are you starting out?
We're still waiting to make my schedule, so we're still working on that right now. But
you'll for sure be in Cincy, though.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's hometown race. Got to do it.
Yep. Right, all right, we'll see you there, and you know, keep Roanoke on you know, as a possibility. Uh-huh. Roanoke or Rochester, yeah. Good places to start.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be there,
and then of course DCC.
Sounds later. Good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, dude, thanks so much. That was good talking to you.
Yeah, Lucas.
Yeah,
thanks
you guys.
Thanks for being on, man. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Right. See you guys.
Bye bye. There we go.
Wow.
How cool is that, Bill?
Wow. That look at you.
That worked pretty good, didn't it?
That did work well. Yeah. Look at that. The Roadcaster. That's all, you know, it was nice to talk to Lucas and all, but just being able to test out the gear, that was the important thing.
Right.
You know, I know, you know, with Bike Shop CX being your baby, that's you know, the personalities and the racing is one thing, but it's just let's just concentrate on the gear.
right. Yeah, so there's not as much opportunity to just give people a random call. So
yeah,
there you go.
That was awesome. That was cool. I had no idea there was a Dirty Ken's collegiate. I guess they just have everything.
High school.
I'm sorry, not even collegiate.
Yeah, yeah. Lucas is 17, I believe.
Right,
his racing age. So yeah, he's gonna. I mean, that kid is fast. Oh my God, he's gonna be one to, you know. He's going to be one of the future U.S. guys we'll be talking about a lot, as will his sister, Lexi. I mean, she's fast, too. She's quite a bit younger. I want to say she's like maybe 14.
Okay.
So
did she was she at Cyclocross Nationals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
She races her age group at Cyclocross Nationals. So.
Okay.
But yeah, and just a great kid. I just love that kid. So. All right.
Awesome.
So do we want to talk about other...
No, that was it. Let's just call it a day.
How do we top? We can't top that.
I know. Oh. I know. Well, I think maybe should we? I mean, there are some cyclocross things I'd like to get to since we are a cyclocross show. I don't know. It's kind of funny because I made the change. You know, it was Crosshairs Radio, and I changed it to Cyclocross Radio for a couple reasons. But I also felt like that was a, you know, more
accurate name,
illustrative name for what we do. And then I'm like, oh, but I want to talk about mountain biking too, and let's talk about gravel racing. It was like,
right.
Thankfully we have this other show now, this Grotier show. We can talk about gravel, and you know, maybe someday we'll have a mountain bike show. But yeah, but it's okay. We'll still come. I hope that that people don't get turned away that thinking it's exclusively cyclocross.
Well, they are cousins.
They are. You know. Well, that's why I wanted to ask them about mountain biking, because it really seems like, you know, what we're seeing there, it's starting to get a little more of a gray area. But traditionally, you know, like road and cyclocross pretty much are cousins. You know, most people mm-hmm. that race cyclocross came from the road. That's where it started, right? It was like mm-hmm. the off season for road racers running through the fields in France from village to village. and then gravel is sort of born out there. But then on the other side, we were looking at like, even on the women's side, like look at the people who are the top at mountain biking and trying to figure out, well, what would they do in cyclocross? And I think for the Americans, they would freaking crush it. Can you imagine if like Kate Courtney and Aaron Huck and, you know, you just, you know, even Chloe Woodruff, who I know used to race cross were all like that was their primary sport, I think it'd be a complete like reshuffling of the field if that was out there. So yeah, it was just kind of a interesting conversation. If some, and even on the men's side, you know, we saw Blevin sort of poke his head around the corner and go, "Oh, hey, cyclocross, this looks cool," and then win a national championship, and then you know, right.
head on back to
mountain biking. Yeah,
yeah, so. Yeah.
But I don't know how I got off on that. But let's what are your thoughts on Jordi Canza and all that? You know, we have enough controversies in cyclocross every year, from even going way back into the, it seems way back at this point, you know, disc brakes versus cantilever brakes, which, you know, I know the roadies are going through that now. It's like, that's not even like an issue anymore that anybody talks about, especially on the professional level. What do you think about Jordi Canza and the pros and the aero bars, and is it losing its soul and all of that stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I would hate to see it turn into something where the rider on their own going out and, you know, strategically drafting within the field, that's cool, and using that to their advantage and being an individual and finding a way to use the pack to come out ahead and win the event. I would hate that for that to completely go away. But at the same time, I think two teams of like 5, 6, or 7 riders chasing each other down across the gravel roads across Kansas would be amazing to watch. So I kind of see it both ways. I think it could potentially be everything. You know, it could be both of those things, and maybe we just shouldn't argue about it as much and just kind of embrace all of those things for what they are and kind of celebrate all of it. I just think it's a awesome event. I think gravel is about to continue. Well, I should say will continue to explode. And I think cyclocross is going to lose some fans and some athletes to gravel, I think, in the near future. So I do worry a little bit about that. But I mean, I love it. I love gravel grinding. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome.
We look at cyclocross and the one of the selling points of cyclocross is for people who have an interest in racing their bike, but you know, maybe are, you know, they're not teenagers anymore. They're a little older, 30s, 40s, whatever, and they're just starting, or even kids who are getting into it. And we go, okay, you know, we've talked about this a ton of times, but the traditional entry point for racing your bike was on the road, and road racing isn't always, it's kind of scary, you know, especially as a beginner, and you can crash and sort of lose a lot of skin, or if you're not, you know, fit, you can get dropped and then just be out there. If you're on like even a 30-mile road race, you know, you could be 5 miles behind and just out there alone, you know.
Right. Everyone will know it, right?
And everyone will know it. That's the thing.
In a cross race, you're still on the course. Nobody really knows. All right, you were lapped down. Yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's like, you know, you're still in the park. You know, right, and right, people are still right. cheering for you. And most of them, if you're racing like the, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 35 plus race, nobody knows where you are. They don't know, what's going on with the race. And they're still, you know, cheering for you. And if you crash, you sort of like, you know, land on grass most of the time. So
yeah, you're not going very fast, probably. Yeah. You just kind of land on grass.
So that's what we're always like, hey, cyclocross, great place to enter the sport. And then, you know, we would see people go and they'd sort of get that competition and that racing bug. And then they'd move over and then they'd go and do a road race, you know, and it sort of almost worked backwards. Like that whole paradigm sort of flipped on its head from what it was 40, 50 years ago. And then you get something like gravel that enters the scene, and it takes that participation, that mass participation part that cyclocross really doesn't have, because you have a field limit and it's still a race, and you still have, you know, if you are that person who is getting lapped, you're getting lapped. And, you know, there is a part of that that's not a lot of fun, to having to get out of people's way or having like leaders yell at you when they're coming up behind you and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And here comes along these events that I think are more like marathons, right? I mean, it's like everybody, the goal isn't to win. You know, in cyclocross, eventually, for most people, and I know there are people who just like the experience of racing, and, you know, I 100% back that and appreciate that, but for, I would say, most people, once they do it a couple times, start to figure it out, they're like, okay, I was 30th, I want to be 20th. I was 20th, I want to be in that top 10. I want to be on a podium. Gosh, before I quit this, I want to win a race, you know?
Right.
That's kind of the amateur progression. Nobody's really saying that other than the pros at Dirty Kanza.
Yeah. No, I think in cyclocross, it's you feel like it's more, if you're brand new to cycling and you want to consider racing, in cyclocross, you feel like it's you against the other racers, and that's, it can be intimidating. But in gravel, it's you against the course, and that's not as intimidating.
Yeah.
Right? And you're just going out and trying to complete the course, so it's not as intimidating.
The beauty of cyclocross in many ways, and the thing that we talk about that does separate it from road in that, especially if you're doing like crit racing or whatever else, it's like, it matters who wins, and it might matter who gets second or third if it's, you know, not a group. But after that, I mean, people sit up at in the finishing straight, right? If you're 15th through 100th and you're all rolling in at the same time, nobody's sprinting at the end. Nobody cares where they finish. No. You look at cyclocross and you're like, oh, I was 32nd and Dave was 31st, and I've been racing against that guy. And that's sort of how it usually, like, you know, shakes out in cyclocross, that it doesn't matter the course, it doesn't matter what, that guy that you're racing against is always that guy that you're racing against, and for whatever reason, you're always right, you know, within a couple people of each other, you know. And that's why cross results happen, right? That's your nemesis. That's you can look and even track that, and it just works out statistically that you're racing around the same people, and that's the beauty of the sport, in that then matters, you know.
You are
sprinting, even though you can look up the road and see that the winners of your race are already through a 5-minute discussion on what happened in their race with each other. It doesn't matter. They don't concern you because you're racing against this group here, and that's still important.
Exactly. In fact, that's one of the things that the Australians said when they came over here the first time and stayed with me and we went around. They're like, there's racing all the way around the course for every single position here. It's really kind of cool. You know, we're racing, and they stayed here for 2 months and traveled around, and they were already getting into exactly what you're describing, as they were seeing people from week to week, from race to race. And they're like, yeah, I was racing against that guy last week at, you know, in Cincinnati or whatever. And now we're racing in Louisville, and it's really kind of cool. It doesn't matter that we're racing for 17th. We're just racing each other, you know, lap for lap all the way around the course. So I totally agree with that.
Right. So, and that is, I think, one of the joys of cyclocross that you don't get in road racing. But here, I think then, you know, moving back to sort of that marathon paradigm, is that you're more racing the course and you're racing for personal bests. And, you know, I know it's a little different with DK because they do change the course every couple years or so. So you're not necessarily, you know, it's a 200 mile, if you're doing the 200 race in Kansas, that you're going up against and trying to better your time and everything. But even though the course may be a little different, but there are other ones, you know, other races out there that follow the same course every year, that's what you're racing against. You know, it's like, for a lot of people with DK, it's like, the cool thing about that race is just what we were talking about with Lucas, how many different iterations of that race are. And you can really, I mean, it's kind of a genius part about it that people don't talk about, is like, I did the 50 this year.
Yep.
Maybe I'll try to do the 100 next year. Maybe I'll try to do the 200 down, you know. And so you can build up from what you were saying, like a 20 mile race up to a 200 mile race. And that's that appeal that's always going to bring you back, because there's always another challenge.
Yeah. In fact, I was talking about this the other day with Dr. Tracy Berman, who you know, right?
Wide Angle Podium supporter.
Supporter, yes. And I was actually
huge. She's doing Wide Angle Podium supporter.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Tracy Byrne. Yes, she is a big gravel racer, and she's doing a 200 miler this weekend. And I was looking at her. She just got a new Warbird, Salsa Warbird, which is extremely cool. And so being a triathlete, I was kind of talking to her about this same idea. I think in a lot of ways, gravel provides a lot of the same challenges for people that go into triathlon as a triathlon for those people. I think you could certainly see a shift from people from like looking at triathlon as the next thing to do to looking at gravel as the next thing to do. Because yeah. I think triathletes are just like, they're cyclists just like the rest of us. And I think they're really getting turned off by the cars and the traffic and having it, because they do huge miles on the road, right?
Right.
And they've got to deal with these cars and traffic all the time. And it's really becoming an issue for them. And I know we have a triathlon locally that does, they do a trail run. You do the swim in a lake, you do a trail run, and then the bike is on gravel. So it's like a gravel triathlon.
Yeah, like an Xterra Light.
Yeah. I just think those same things that appeal to people that go into triathlon, now they could find in gravel grinding, and we could see people coming from that area too and moving into gravel, especially, you know, and they've got aero bars, so they feel comfortable.
I was sitting there just holding on to it, Scott, holding on and waiting to just drop that in there, and yeah.
So I think we could see people doing that too. You know, we could see this, some of these triathletes, and we know the triathletes, gotta love them, because they don't, spending money is not a problem right. for them, right?
I was saying there's a lot of different, like, you know, doodads and gadgets and yep. you know, they can bring over their little bento boxes and all that kind yep. of stuff and yes. find a place on their bike for that, and yeah.
Yeah, so I think we could see
If they want to put a water bottle in the back of their saddle, I don't think anybody's going to care in a gravel race.
Nobody would care. No one would care. No. So I think there's just a lot of areas of appeal from gravel that you can pull from a lot of different places.
Hmm. Still race yes? cyclocross people. Yes. Don't leave us behind.
In my opinion, What is better about, one of the things that is better about cyclocross is a much better spectator sport.
I was going to say, more family friendly.
Yes, yes. You go to a park and you can see 3/4 of the course and stay there and, you know, go, there's restrooms right there and, you know, food vendors and hang out and you can spend, or if you have kids that are racing, you know, mom and dad and the family can sit and watch their kids race basically the whole race. You can't do that with the gravel, right?
No.
That's pretty much impossible.
Since historically, you know, cyclocross weather is sunny and shorts weather, then, you know.
Yes.
And hanging out in a park.
Well, that's one of the things. I mean, and it's the fans. I think cyclocross fans, if you guys are listening, you need to step up, because we sit here. How many times do we hear, Bill, people talking about cyclocross weather? Then when we get a race that yeah. has cyclocross weather,
right.
it's no one shows up.
No, because you know what?
I don't want to stand in the rain. What? No? What are you been yelling about all season?
Can I tell
you
this? I was joking with Scott Page, who's the promoter of Rochester Cyclocross, uh-huh. the first C1 on the calendar, which is, I think, is going to be a big race this year. I
hope so.
I'm pretty sure that they are going to have no problem meeting their international C1 requirement. My understanding, since it's so abuts, you know, the World Cups, that finally this year a lot of the European teams are going to use that as a first race, so we may see some huge hitters
that's going to be great
at Rochester. But at my point, I was up there for Scott Page and Full Moon Vista, who put on the cyclocross race, also put on this Criterium in downtown Rochester's Twilight Crit. You can go to YouTube and watch the little little recap I have up there that Brett Rothmeyer and I shot for them. But we were up there, and it was like 45 degrees. And oh. I was like, Scott, I'm going to come back. I know road racing, it's road racing season, but I'm going to come back and cyclocross when it's nice and warm here.
Exactly.
None of this road stuff with this cold weather.
We got cold weather, rain, and mud.
Yeah.
Right now. And yeah. It's going to be dry and hot for the start of cyclocross, you watch.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, we could talk about the fact that basically it's official now that Reno is gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was just
it's a shame. Yeah.
It's a shame because we, in my opinion, we need a West Coast C1.
Right? Well, we need C1. I don't know. I mean, this is the whole, and, you know, Zach and I actually talked about it a bit last week, and I still just don't know. I felt like I was kind of a downer on that one, just because we were looking at the calendar and looking at how the C1s don't exist anymore. You know, we have three, and they're all, mm-hmm. you know, Cincy is the last one. We have mm-hmm. Rochester, Jingle Cross, and Cincy, and that's it
right.
for the C1 right. calendar, and then the rest are C2s, which does a couple things. First thing that it does is that Rochester race and then also Go Cross down in Roanoke, which is end of August and mm-hmm. yeah, I think September 1 as well. Those are two huge races for U.S. cyclists who want to make the World Cup selection.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what can happen there, have four good races in those two events,
mm-hmm.
and you can make your way into the top 50 possibly, and then you're an auto select for the World Cup. You don't have to worry about it. On top
which
of
are
that,
easy, which are easy. The next two first two World Cups are easy for you to get to, relatively easy, right?
And
just shoot over to Trek and to Jingle, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other piece in that is the selection for the actual team is going to be based on those races as well. So you want to like get points and move up. So I think that's why we're really going to see some packed fields there. And then of course you have Rochester, which I think is going to be super competitive, but that's a C1, bigger points, more money on the line. I really feel like the beginning of this season, even if we can hand-wring about the rest of it, is going to be pretty awesome because it's just going to be jam-packed and it's going to be super competitive moving into the World Cups and you know.
Do you think the schedule is too front-loaded, though? Or do you worry that by the end of the season, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, I think
the excitement has gone away and people lose interest.
I don't know. I mean, I just wonder if we're going to get to a point where it's almost like it's two seasons. You know, because I think there is definitely, I mean, I can tell you this. I've been looking at, you know, they're not out there yet. We're going to have much more discussion about this, but just looking at what's going to go into cyclocross world selections. And one of the things, just sort of getting a peek of what's going on with that selection criteria, is in the final selection criteria in the past, there used to be this section that was an aggregate of how you performed at a handful of U.S. UCI races. So it was like Rochester and Charm City and Cincy and Ruts and Guts and Jingle Cross. I think these were all in that pool. And then that was a determining factor that they could use. It was pretty low down there, but that definitely was in the criteria for how you made the world's team.
Yeah.
I don't think that exists anymore. So... you know, we talk about it being top heavy. My question is, what happens after that? What is the incentive? What if you are an elite racer, what are you looking at as my goal this year?
Yeah, I mean, is it going to drive a lot of riders over to Europe?
I think if they have the resources for that, I think that's kind of what it's setting up to do. And I think that that's what the UCI intended when they started to enforce their rules about C1s. And I think that the imbalance of Americans was something that they didn't necessarily want to see. You know, they made a couple changes. Mm-hmm. One, they're ranking World Cups. They're staging them by World Cup order.
Right. Not
UCI ranking.
Yes.
Right? And that's a change, right? That's how mountain bike does it. So there, you're already, you know, unless you crush it in Iowa and Jingle, you know, you don't get to use your results at DCCX, for instance, to help you move up the grid in a World Cup. It just, they won't matter anymore after that first race happens. So that happened. And then just, you know, I mean, and I don't think people really grasp the difference between a C1 and a C2. It's huge.
Yeah, points and money. Both. Yeah.
So that we don't have those anymore. You know, that's what I question. I mean, and we already know Katie Keogh's doing it. We know Katie Compton's doing it. I think that seems to be where, if your ambitions are on that level, I don't see how you don't go to Europe at this point.
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think one... I think we probably had too many C1s. I agree with the argument that we had too many C1s in the United States.
I agree with that too.
We used to have like 9.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's too many for the number of riders that we actually put into worlds and stuff like that. I think 9 is too high.
Especially when you look at like a David Vey or a super prestige race where you have just rock stars and superheroes out there bashing their heads together for C2
and it's
points.
A C2.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I think 3 is a much more realistic number. 3 C1s with 2 World Cups over here too. We got to, you know, got to kind of remember back then we didn't have 2 World Cups in the US either. So maybe 9 wasn't so crazy, but I still think that was too high. I totally agree with you. I think it's going to encourage riders. If you're aspiring to get on the podium at Worlds, then you're going to be going over to Europe probably in that time and then coming back for Nationals. So,
yeah, and I think that, and the other thing that I think that the argument goes about, well, the U.S. is so big, and that's what the UCI needs to understand, is that we're more like, you know, four countries, and therefore it's okay to have all of these different, you know, C1s and everything else, and we can have all these races because we're really like four countries and size wise. And my argument to that is, well, Italy doesn't have a World Cup.
Right.
Germany had one a couple years ago that we're just finding out they haven't even paid the riders for yet, their prize money, and now Zevin, and now they're bankrupt. And the UCI is like throwing their hands up, well, not our problem, sorry. You know, I think
England
doesn't have a World Cup.
Milton Keynes once. Yeah.
The Netherlands has like one, right? I mean,
right.
Two, I guess. I got Hoogerheide and then Valkenburg. Well, that's how they're right. So, I mean, but still,
still
they have as many as the U.S. So I think that that is a red herring to say, well, since we're such a huge country, we quote deserve more than, you know, we deserve all those C1s. Australia, huge country as well, doesn't have any. Japan doesn't have any. I mean, they're plenty of countries that don't have it. We are very good at lobbying for these things, and we're able to win them. We're able to support them and had a culture of cyclocross that was able to do it. But yeah, I think that to have three C1s and two World Cups in a nation is pretty good. And I mean, I think that there is a pretty good argument out there that we will see three World Cups by the time all is said and done, assuming that the other two want to keep theirs. I have to imagine.
You mean if they, because they were talking about raising it to 12, or, right?
Right, because they want more races, and just seeing the ambition of Ozcross and Arkansas, that they are going to want to continue that after Worlds, to be once they are on that international scene. That's my guess. I have no idea that they're not going to just want to go away. I mean, I see them wanting to go after nationals and wanting to do all of these things. So I don't see that a World Cup would necessarily be out of the question. So then you're looking at, three C1s and three World Cups in a country. That's pretty good. And I brought that up, and I made the point with Zach on the last episode that if that happens, I think that that is actually a better situation for everyone. Like, one World Cup, when it was Cross Vegas, it was kind of like, well, it was Cross Vegas, so you could get people there because they were all going to have sponsor responsibilities and they were going to make it out there.
Right.
But then you went to the two, and we found out it was really easy for people like Vanderpool to say, hey, not worth my time. I'm going to win every other one of these. I don't need these races. And he can, and he didn't win the World Cup. Tone Erich did, but he was definitely in the running. You put it up to three, and they have to go. And I think for the riders, it's also more of appeal because they can say, okay, I'm going to be in the U.S. for a month.
Yeah.
And it's going to be worth my while. I am going to get one C1 race and three World Cups. That is worth my while to come over and to stay and make that investment. So.
And then it's kind of like, early season would be European riders coming to the U.S. Later season would be U.S. riders going over to Europe.
Yeah.
It'd kind of be how it would set up, I think. I mean, we don't know, obviously, but I don't know. But is that fair?
For whom?
Is the U.S., I mean, are we at that caliber for that to be a more balanced thing? As a cyclocross racing country, are our riders competitive enough? Do we have enough into the sport for it to be split that way?
It's to so have close that many World Cups here, if that happens?
Yeah.
I think talent-wise, no. But I think it just goes back to the argument that I made. If you're going to, quote, force European riders to come to the U.S., then giving them the incentive to compete at the biggest races for a month, I think, is more appealing to them. I mean, the alternative then, I mean, for your argument is then, should we have any?
Right. Because one is hard. I agree with you. One is just doesn't, nobody would come for one.
Right.
Right? It's not worth it.
Especially now, since there isn't that hook where they have to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, Bill.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing out questions.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is either. I think that, and again, we'll just have to start. We reached out to a couple riders, and they're a little cagey at this point about what it is that they want to do and how they want to do and how they feel about the landscape of the calendar. So I think we're going to have to get into it a little more before we really know what people are thinking. But, my other point on this, Scott, and I mean, I think you have a good sort of understanding and feel of what's out there is like, in the past, it used to be, well, I one of the reasons we don't want to go to Europe is our team is U.S. based and all of our sponsors are here and they, they're paying for us to race here. Yeah. It's not a good thing, but I don't think that's as big of a deal anymore, right? Because there aren't as many teams or sponsors.
Yeah, I agree. There's one big team, Cannondale, right?
Yep.
Basically.
One of their biggest riders already said, I'm going to Europe.
Yep. Hyde and Katie, right?
I still think that Hyde is, and I don't want to put words into his mouth. I believe that he is going to do more in Europe. I think that he is not going to have as embedded a stay as Keo is.
Okay. All right. And then you have, I think Alpha, they were certainly a huge presence last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you got, I think maybe Alpha's a little bit down, a little bit below Cannondale as far as size and awareness of their team. And then you got to, under that, there's a bunch of smaller teams. I think, like Pivot Maxis, I think is there, or Pivot, not Pivot Maxis. Did I say Pivot Maxis? I don't think it's Pivot Maxis, is it? Are they Pivot?
They are Pivot Maxis, aren't they? McFadden, and didn't they just...
Yeah, but they also are sponsored by Stans, too. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. They're the whole thing. They are like Stans, Pivot, Maxis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
who did they just... Who was the dude that they just picked up? Oh, blanking. I should know this.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask Courtney. So you can pick up just as much publicity for those sponsors in Europe as you can here. So I agree with you. We used to hear that all the time, and that's just something that's gone. So maybe that's a good thing in the end. And then we got a bunch of riders, basically one rider teams, quote unquote teams.
Grant Elwood.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Pivot cool. Maxis, powered by, presented by P&B, peanut butter on bread by Stans No Tubes. Oh, you know who else is on that team now as well? Ruby West.
Oh, I did not know that.
Courtney McFadden, Grant Elwood, Ruby West.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
Breaking news.
Yes.
That's good.
What about Sophia? Is Sophia gone? Sophia must be gone.
Sophia is concentrating on 2020 and the Olympics. Okay. Mountain biking.
There we go.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen with the future of cyclocross just in general as far as the team situation goes. I think we're in a weird spot right now. It's unclear.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of been happening for a while. You have a Trek Factory Racing CX team that, Ellen will race here some of the time. Yeah. But I think that, now that Yolanda's on that team, I think that there's probably going to be a bigger push to... I wonder. We'll see. I have no idea. I have no idea what that team's going to do, but will they race together or they will race on different continents? I don't know.
Yeah. So. Speaking of Trek.
Yes.
Have you talked on the show about Trek and Wide Angle Podium?
Not enough, Scott.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
tell me and give me some information about it, Bill.
Well, I will tell you this, that it all starts Thursday, September 19th,
mm-hmm.
with a pre-ride party.
I'm just by you saying pre-ride party, mm-hmm. there's just images going through my head that are like, oh man.
and you can get, so we're talking about Waterloo World Cup, but even more importantly for all of our cyclocross racing friends, the Trek CX Cup, which, as I said, they're not just waiting for the weekend here. This thing gets rolling Thursday, September 19th, and goes all the way through Sunday, September 22nd. And Wide Angle Podium, Scott Diedenbach, is an official sponsor of a World Cup race. The first ever podcast network to sponsor a World Cup race.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. So
when people subscribe to the network,
yeah.
This is what your money does, right? This is the kind of stuff your money does. You can directly support the sport.
I don't know. You know, we haven't negotiated yet, you know, if we're a presented by, a powered by, a peanut butter on bread. That all isn't. But I can tell you, we are on there with all of the other great sponsors of this event. Wide Angle Podium is one of them.
How awesome.
Jesse Thorne and his podcast Empire, are they sponsoring a World Cup race? No.
No.
Joe Rogan, he didn't sponsor a World Cup race. But these shows of the Wide Angle. And the cool thing is that we're all going to be out there. I think that's the biggest part. We're going to have a presence right in the middle of all of the action. We'll have tents set up. We're going to have the Wide Angle Podium Sprinter Van Recording Studio owned and operated by you.
Yours truly.
we'll be there. So we're gonna be doing some live stuff. I believe we have some giveaways set up. And just, you know, it's already a great party. If you haven't been out there, we want you to go. But we're bringing even more of the party to you.
Yes, come and hang out with us. It's going to be, I mean, David and I've been going to Trek for, I think this will be like my 7th year in a row.
Yeah.
That I've gone, I mean, way before it was a World Cup. It's always been one of my favorite races. Or however, I mean, have they even done it 7 years? Maybe it's 6. I don't know. But and every single time without fail, there's Wide Angle Podium or Bike Shop CX viewers, listeners that come up and hear us talking and recognize our voices, come up, say hi. This is going to be that times 100, right? This is what I hope.
Oh,
with all of us there with a huge tent presence, my van, the Devo team's van, everybody there from all the shows, it's going to be awesome. So if you're on the fence about coming, maybe this will put you over the edge and come and hang out with us and chat with us and talk with us, and it's going to be a blast.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
It's a great event. We got the Legends race. We can go and, you know, go throw on a costume and race with Sven and Jens and Tim Johnson or whoever else is going to be there doing it this year.
I think you guys should all do the Legends race, and I should pit for everybody on Wide Angle Podium.
Awesome. Yeah, so, I mean, look, at so that's a lot. You got John and Doug from Gravel Lot. You're going to have Tim and Spencer from Slow Ride. You know, you'll be pitting, so Mr. David Palin you'll have to pit for.
Right.
I'll be out
David
there.
David said you guys can strategize and all come in at once.
There you go.
Everybody come into the pit together.
Molly and Peter from Consummate Athlete.
Oh, are they coming? Okay, cool.
I wasn't sure. I don't know either.
Okay.
We're to be determined. They're on the list.
All right.
Hey, Zach will be out there from Grodio. So
there you go.
We're gonna have the whole complement of hosts for this one. Chad Brown from Trek and invited Lindsay Goldman from the Dirt Field, even though she's a roadie. She's done a lot of cyclocross, to come out there. He's like, hey, come on out to Trek CX. I'm like, she's already obligated to be there. She's a Wide Angle Podium show host, you know? She has
That's
to
right.
be there, but no, we'll see if she actually goes. But yeah, no, it's bikeredge.com/trek-cx-cup. You can get there.
Nice.
I think if you just go to Trek CX, what is
I'm going to have to drive straight.
Does
something
work?
Like that, yeah.
Trekbikes.com. You can get there from there. Use the Google.
Yeah. I'm going to have to drive. If I got to get there Thursday, I'm going to have to drive straight from Rochester all the way to Madison.
You're going to Rochester.
I was thinking about
it. Awesome. Good.
But usually, you know, like my where I live is about halfway between Rochester and Trek or Jingle. It's about the same. So I've always been able to just come home. But then if I got to get out to Madison by Thursday, whew.
I may have some cyclocross television CX heat check work for you to do out there.
Okay.
I mean, I'll be there.
At Rochester? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got no obligations at Rochester. I'm just going to be a fan. I don't
everybody
even
just okay. That's at the 1 hour and 2 minute mark. Just everybody.
I'm borderline not going to bring my tools.
Everybody,
Bill.
Okay. Everybody, bookmark that. You can go back to it later. I'm gonna get one of these Rodecaster Pros or Pro Rodecasters just so I can put that onto one of those buttons and play it as a sound drop. I have no obligations. I'm not bringing my tools.
Oh, man. I say that a lot and it doesn't happen.
I know. You're like Godfather 2 or 3 or whichever one they're pulling him back in. Yeah. Good reference, Bill. Way to nail
three.
It.
Godfather 3. 3. Yes.
Wow. We've done it for an hour and I'm not sure that we got to anything on the list that I had. So that worked out perfectly.
There you go.
I will say this just for if anybody hasn't heard yet, Lauren Swick broke his wrist, which stinks racing on the road. So he's going to, his legs still work, but he's going to need that wrist for cyclocross. Hopefully he'll be back and racing by the beginning of the season, but that is to be determined. We had Matthew Vanderpoel, who has always said that cyclocross is, you know, his first love, and he just wants to keep racing cyclocross. Seems to kind of be changing his tune a little bit now, and feels, you know, I think especially after winning that last world championship, is trying to grapple with what it is that he has left to do in the sport. So I think that we're going to be seeing less of him. Especially next year with 2020 and the Olympics around the corner. And then, you know, he has so much pressure to race on the road now. So I think that we're going to see less of him racing cyclocross. And then the complete opposite, the guy who we thought was just like, smell you later, cyclocross, Wout is talking like, I just want to go back and race cross. And, you know, maybe maybe he heard Vanderpoel wasn't going to be there as much and that kind of changed his mind. But he's like, I'm not a road racer completely. And he's kind of shutting it down now. And he's, I think, ramping up and ready to get back into cyclocross. So that's actually good to hear. It'll be good to have him out there as well. We talked about Katie Keogh, who's going to be spending a lot more time in Europe. We talked about, I talked a little bit about Go Cross, which I hope that all of you show up for. It's really an awesome race, and it's one worth going to. I think that as a racer, it's a great event. On top of that, you're going to see some exceptional talent there. I think the names are starting to roll in. The biggest, the top of the list, Katie Compton, will be starting her season in Roanoke. So,
I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So we will see.
That's good.
We will see the Comptons at the Compton legs at in Roanoke for that first weekend and before they head up to Rochester. So for her, I think it's really Go Cross, Rochester, the World Cups, and then she's out of there. So I think Katie and Katie both are sort of on that same plan. But if you've never done it, really easy one to get. Even if you're flying in, you can fly right into Roanoke, and then it's a like quick drive over to the course. Plenty of places to stay. So put it on your list.
I would bet money that at some point at the Trek race, we're going to get Katie and or Mark on a microphone.
I think so. I think that has to happen for sure.
I think that's probably a pretty high probability. So that's going
to
be good.
Outstanding. I want to remind everybody that along, we already talked about Grimper Brothers, but also that this show is brought to you by Health IQ Life Insurance. You can go to healthiq.com/WAP, and also our new sponsor, which we're excited about, is this show also brought to you by Whoop. And Whoop, the cool thing about Whoop, which we talked about in the intro, is that you have a discount code for 15% off if you use CX Hairs, CXHAIRS. I know Scott's here and he's going to want to slip in his discount code, but
I'll do that tomorrow.
if you have more than one person in your family, you can just split up the discount code. It all comes back.
There you go.
All comes back to the Wide Angle Podium. We're just there are different discount codes. So if you throw in CX Hairs, you'll get 15% off for a 12 or 18 month membership. So that's awesome. So follow up with them as well. Scott, where can yes. people get a hold of you? What's going on? What do you got planned?
The best place, well, they can always send me an email at bikeshopshow@gmail.com. You know, we get that's the email address for the tech questions for the show that we do. But you can also use that just to say hi. That's every now and then people do that. So that's always a good way to do that. On social media, really the biggest place. I know we mentioned my Scott Knott Bikes on Instagram. That's where I do the vinyl stuff. But then just Bike Shop CX on Instagram is probably the other way to do it. You could also do Bike Shop CX on Twitter. I check that once every day or two if you want to get a hold of me that way. But yeah, those are the best way. And what I got going on, Bill, is I am going to support a gravel grinder this weekend. I'm going to be at the first transition point for the I can't even remember the name of it. JB's Gravel Race up in Alma, Michigan. I'm going to be there with Drew Escherich from...
Oh, nice.
We were talking about Stan's No Tubes, and he's going to be there for that. And, yeah, we're going to be fixing bikes for anybody that has a problem at that race/ride. So just don't ask me to spell Drew's name. I get in trouble. He yells at me every time I try and spell his name.
Fantastic. Hey, just talking about that Bike Shop CX Instagram, you all should follow that. It was really cool. That Instagram contest that you guys had earlier this year was really, really, really fun. I hope that you have something like that planned.
The April CX Challenge, yeah.
Yeah, planned in the future, because that was cool, and people should definitely give
and
it a follow.
We'll be having the winners. We had to pick two winners because they were both so good. We'll be having both winners on here fairly soon. One of the winners is actually coming to Trek, and we're going to do our talk with him at the Trek race.
Perfect.
So there you go.
Perfect. If you want to get a hold of me, you can, or anything about the show or any other shows, feedback@cxhairs.com. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter @cxhairs. And please go to YouTube, youtube.com/cxhairs. Go and subscribe to the channel. We got lots of mountain bike stuff up there now. But as I tell people, go check out the heat check videos, because that is the concept, even built out from there. But that's kind of what we're going to be doing for cyclocross as well. And I think it's been a lot of fun to do. And I think that with the power rankings, it takes us, you know, all the way back to Colt and what he used to do with Who's Number One. We're trying to build on that concept and really give everybody some. We were sitting here fretting about what the season's going to look like and who we're going to follow and all this, and I am hoping that this show is something that kind of puts all that together and gives you something to follow. So youtube.com/cxhairs, follow it there. Scott Dean Mugg is always awesome. I mean, this is just, you know, we do this. I was really happy to show you. We had our special guest, surprise guest on here, which was awesome. We got to talk about cyclocross, but even just being able to touch base with you every once in a while and catch up is just makes my day. So
it brings back old times. Yeah.
It was good chatting. So let's do it again soon.
All right, Bill. Sounds good.
All right. See ya.